This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. Ever since Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide was forced out of office in February of 2004, security in the Caribbean nation has steadily declined. Even with UN peacekeepers patrolling the streets, most of Port-au-Prince is controlled by armed gangs who've used Aristide's departure as an excuse for a campaign of terror. At least 600 people have died since last September, and over the last few months, random kidnappings have destabilized Port-au-Prince as election season approaches. Most kidnappings end when a ransom is paid, but this was not true in the case of the popular Haitian journalist and poet Jacques Roche, who was kidnapped and killed earlier this month. As Michael Cavanaugh reports from Port-au-Prince, outrage over Roche's death has calmed the spasms of violence in the capital, at least for now.
On July 14th, the body of journalist Jacques Roche was found handcuffed and nearly naked on the busy streets of Port-au-Prince. Gary Azamar was one of Roche's editors at the newspaper Le Matin.
It appeared he'd received 5 bullets to his back. They'd broken his wrists, and there were bruise marks all over his body, which was proof that he'd been savagely tortured.
By most accounts, at first, Roche was the victim of one of the random kidnappings for money that have plagued Haiti for the last few months. But because of his stature, Roche's kidnapping became big news. Originally, his kidnappers asked for a $250,000 ransom, as Roche's editor explains.
We raised a small pot of money, and it seemed that the kidnappers agreed to accept that. But Thursday afternoon when I came in, someone asked, "Did you hear the news?" I said, "No, what happened?" Jacques was found dead this morning. To arrive one day and to hear that he was killed and the way that he was killed, it was like a cold shower.
Roche's death rocked a Haitian population that had become almost immune to random acts of violence since the forced departure of President Aristide a year and a half ago. Aristide supporters are widely suspected of supporting the killings and kidnappings, including the death of Roche. Some in Haiti suspect that Roche was eventually killed because he'd hosted a series of discussions on Haitian national television that included members of the Group of 184, the pro-business coalition that opposes Aristide's Lavalas party. But if Roche's murder was politically motivated, it seems the kidnappers were misguided in their choice of target. Roche was a staunchly independent journalist who was as beloved as he was difficult to pin down.
Maintenant,
this is one of the last broadcasts of Roche's nightly sports radio show on Radio Ibo. He was also a television personality and wrote on arts and culture for Le Matin. He spoke and wrote with passion about the environment, debt relief, and development, and was a highly regarded poet. The day of Roche's funeral was declared a national day of mourning by interim Prime Minister Gerard Latortue, who also suggested he'd name the street where Roche's body was found, Jacques Roche Street. After the funeral, Haiti's main journalist association staged a march from the church to the National Palace. Jean-Paul Pierre, who worked with Roche at Radio Ibo, addressed the crowd at the end of the march.
We staged a demonstration to tell the authorities to take responsibility and to say no. To say no, this is unacceptable.
Jean-Paul Pierre has reason to be skeptical of Haitian authorities. Jacques Roche is far from the first journalist to be killed in Haiti in recent years, and because most of these cases are politically explosive, they languish unresolved in Haiti's ravaged judicial system. Roche's editor at Le Matin, Gary Azamar, is furious about the lack of justice.
Is there a country in the world that allows this kind of barbarity, these kinds of heartless things to happen while nothing is done about those who do it? And my anger is also directed at certain people who've got it in their head that killing people who've done nothing will achieve the result they want, because it won't.
It's an anger that many Haitians share. As if Roche's death were a wake-up call for all sides, security in Haiti has improved, says Azamar.
I'm
not saying it's good, but it's improved a great deal in the last month. But often after days of violence, there are 2 or 3 weeks of calm, and then it explodes again.
Frank Seguri, Roche's colleague and friend at Le Matin, worries that Roche's death will continue to be exploited by political opportunists, particularly anti-Aristide factions and the pro-business Group of 184.
I listened to many of the people talking before the day of the funeral. And that day, and in my opinion, Jacques Roche's memory was co-opted. I don't believe that the ideology of many of these people was the same as Jacques Roche's.
But at the same time, Seguiri says,
I noticed on the day of the funeral that outside the church, there was a lot of talking. It's not easy to get people from different parts of Haitian life to talk. And I said to myself, at least if people with so many differences can listen to each other at the funeral of Jacques Roche, perhaps his death will help. Perhaps it will make people realize they've all got a country to build.
Last week, one of Roche's kidnappers was apprehended, and he's reportedly been talking to the police, leading some to hope that perhaps this time, justice might be done in a country where gangs and governments alike have almost always wielded violence with impunity. In Port-au-Prince, I'm Michael Cavanaugh for On the Media.
A postscript. In 2003, Jacques Roche published a poem called Survival. Part of it reads, "You can gouge out my eyes and my eardrums, cut off my arms and legs, leave me naked in the street, but you cannot kill my dream, you cannot kill hope." Jacques Roche died a week before his 44th birthday.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.